Bruchim, Haboim, welcome back everybody. After Bein Azmanim, we're now at the beginning of Chodesh Elul, Beis Elul, and we would like to discuss a little bit what is obviously in Yonah D'Yoyma, and that is the Avodah of Chodesh Elul, and the Avodah of Tshuva, and this will Be'ezus Hashem be part one. As we all know, widely quoted at this time of the year, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter in his Sefer Oir Yisrael, he recalls that it used to be, meaning not anymore, but it used to be that when you heard the Chazan announce that it's going to be Chodesh Elul, that used to send a shiver up the spine. That's what Rabbi Yisrael writes 150 years ago, and he says that's the way it used to be, meaning that he was bemoaning it's not the way that it is anymore. So if that was the case 150 years ago, then perhaps even more so nowadays, hard to say necessarily that when we hear the Chazan announce on Shabbos, like we just did, Rosh Chodesh Elul, that we have that fear, we have that shiver up the spine. I did also read once that the Chofetz Chaim said that when he heard the Chazan, this is the way they described the word. Everybody could just be... So it was described... So it was described by the Chofetz Chaim, those who saw him on Shabbos Mevorachim, Chodesh Elul, they said that when the Chazan announced that it's going to now be Elul this coming week, Nirta Kol Gufoy, his whole body began shaking and he burst into tears. I read also that Rav Shmuel Oibach said that he once heard from his father, Rav Shlomo Zalman Oibach, that he heard from one of the Ziknei Yerushalayim, and this is not that long ago, that he remembers as a young child when the Chazan announced that it's going to be Rosh Chodesh Elul, so he said there was a lot of crying in the Beis HaMedrash, ad kedei kach, that there were a number of people in the shul who actually passed out. They fainted on the spot. And this is not 200 or 300 years ago. So clearly, even close to our times, there were definitely those who felt in a very tangible way the onset of Elul. And even though Rabbi Yisrael described that it wasn't perhaps that way in his times, and it used to be perhaps even more tangible, but even in times relatively close to ours, there were clearly those who felt in a very real way that Elul is upon us. Let me tell you a remarkable story. This story can be found in the Sefer Matnas Chaim. Matnas Chaim was written by the Mashkiach, Ramatisio Solomon, Sheyarech Yomim Beshonim. And he brings a story there in the name of Rav Elia Lapian Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. Rav Matisyo is himself a Talmid of Rav Elia Lapian, so presumably he heard this from him personally. And Rav Elia Lapian said about, this is what happened in the town of Kelm in Chodesh Elul. He said, in Kelm there was once a week market day. Not as we traditionally used to, somebody opening his stores and it's open every day, but there was market day. Once a week everybody went up to the big town, and this is where they used to trade and buy and barter their merchandise. And he said on one particular occasion a Jewish purchaser enters this marketplace and he begins haggling with a non-Jewish salesman. And the Jewish potential purchaser says to the non-Jewish seller, he says, I'm sorry, this is not the price. I don't know why you're selling this at such an inflated price, but I can guarantee you that everybody else is selling this for a lot less. And the guy said to him, no, that's not true. My price is the real price. And the Jew says to him, it's not, it's really not. I've done my inquiries and I know quite well that the other stores around here are selling this for a much lower price. Upon which the non-Jewish potential seller said to him, no, I don't believe you. I don't believe what you're saying. There was another non-Jew who overheard this. And he turns around to the non-Jewish seller and said, did I hear you say that you don't believe the Jew? He said to him, are you not aware that it's the month that the Jews called Elul at the moment? And a Jew would never lie in Elul. A Jew would never lie in Elul. You're telling this Jew that you don't believe him? Meaning you're accusing him of lying? Don't you know that a Jew would never lie in Elul? Now this is, of course, a remarkable story. That means a guy in Kelm, a guy knew what Elul meant. A guy knew that when you hear the word Elul, that's a very serious time. A Jew would not lie on Elul. It's interesting because the Rambam tells us that you cannot rely on an Amoretz. We just learned this in our morning shiur this morning. You cannot rely on an Amoretz who tells you that he's taken Trumas or Maestras. We don't believe him. But the Rambam says, one day a week you do believe him. And when is that? On Shabbos. He wouldn't lie on Shabbos. There is a Eima, a certain awe of Shabbos, which means that the Amoretz would never lie. And this guy was aware that what Shabbos is round the year is really concentrated into Elul. A Jew doesn't lie in Elul. My father-in-law, who happens to be in Eretz Yisrael at the moment, told me last week, in the name of his Rebbe, Reb Shlomo Brevder, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that he said once that his own Rebbe, the great Mashkiach of the Ponovitch Yeshiva and the Miri Yeshiva, Reb Chatzke Levenstein, once was asked to speak at a chasana which took place in Chodesh Elul. The Mashkiach stands up, can you imagine, in front of a few hundred people, and his drasha consisted of two words. He stood up, b'kahal ve'edah, in front of hundreds of people, and he just says, Raboisai, Elul, Elul. And then he sat down. That was the end of his drasha at the chasana. Which means, even at a chasana, in the midst of all the simcha, but the Mashkiach felt in a very tangible way that you must never lose sight. This is Elul. This is a serious time, even in the midst of a chasana. Elul, Elul. A Jew does not lie in Elul. So clearly we are all very much aware, and we've heard this, and the question is, do we feel it? But we're very much aware that Elul is not just another month. Elul is a serious time of year, and there clearly is work to be done. Now, I'd like to stop for a moment and ask the following question. When the Chofetz Chaim said that he heard the Chazan announce Chodesh Elul, Rosh Chodesh Elul, and that sent a shiver up the spine, and there was much weeping in the Beis HaMedrash, and Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said he heard from people that fainted on the spot when they heard this. Let's ask the question. What exactly were they crying about? What exactly was this Eima, was this awe that brought about this trembling, this fear, this crying, this fainting, even in the Beis HaMedrash? So the simple understanding is, of course, that when you hear those words, Rosh Chodesh Elul, then you know that very much Rosh Hashanah is on the horizon. When the Chazan announces Rosh Chodesh Elul, you know it's only a month to go that you will be saying the words Mi Yichye U Mi Yomus Tshuvo Tfilo Tzaka Unasame Toikef Kosveinu B'Sefer Achaim. And we know very much that our lives are hanging on the line, and all will be decided in 1 month's time. And perhaps, therefore, that sends a shiver up the spine. That it's not long to go. It's not long to go. Within a month, the future, our future year, is going to be decided, for good or otherwise. But I think that that's not the answer, or at least that's not the complete answer. The reason why the Chofetz Chaim felt a shiver up the spine, The reason why people passed out when they heard Chodesh Elul is not just because Elul, the utterance of the words Elul, was a reminder that Tishri is just round the corner. But rather, the awe, the aim of Elul, is not because Tishri is on the horizon, but rather because it is now Elul. The reason why there were those who felt the emor and passed out when they heard the Chazan announce the Chodesh Elul is because they realized that it's now Elul. And Elul, there's work to do. So it's not just because in a month's time there will be a very critical pikuach nefesh decision that's going to be taken about my life. No. The aim of Elul is not because of the future, but rather because of the present. Because it's now Elul. It's now Elul. And let's perhaps try and illustrate this with a very simple, maybe oversimplified moshel. Imagine you have somebody who's never been able to afford to live in his own home. He's always been renting a property. And even the property that he's somehow managed to put together some rent is some shack, leaks, cold, no air conditioning or heating, cramped, damp, moldy. This is the property that he's been living. This is the so-called house that he's been living in for years and years and years. All of a sudden, he gets a phone call one day from his friend and says, "Did you hear about the major offer in 1 month's time?" He says, "No." "There is an incredible offer. The government are trying to encourage people to own homes. And therefore, anybody who is able to put together $500,000 shekel will become a homeowner. All you've got to do is come up with the money in 1 month's time. $500,000 shekel, you deliver the cash. On the spot, you will be the owner of a wonderful, beautiful home." He puts the phone down. What are the thoughts that go through this person's mind? The thoughts that go through his mind is, of course, first and foremost, what a tremendous simcha. At long last, my life's dream might now finally become a reality. I might actually be able to live in a decent home, a home that will be mine. I've never been able to afford it or anything close to it. But for $500,000 shekel, for a home which normally would cost 3 times that amount, this is literally almost giving it away for free. So his first and foremost reaction might well be of simcha. But at the same time, what does he think to himself? "This is some serious work now in the next 30 days. 500,000 shekel might be, relatively speaking, to buy a home is a small amount, but there's work to do now. My work is cut out." And therefore there is a sort of mixed reaction, or better put, a dual reaction. On the one hand, a tremendous simcha and excitement. Look at what this opportunity could grant me. And yet at the same time, the realization that there is serious work to be done now. And I don't want to mess up, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. When we hear the Chazan announce Elul, Rosh Chodesh Elul, then we open the words of Rabbi Seinu HaPoiskim, the Chaye Odom. The Chaye Odom in Ilchus Tshuva says the following: a person can always be Chozer B'Tshuva, and a person must always be Chozer B'Tshuva. But Mikol Mokoim, nonetheless, Chodesh Elul Hu Muvchar Hu Muchan Yoiser. This is the most auspicious time to be Chozer B'Tshuva. This is the easiest time of year to be Chozer B'Tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, as it were, more available, quote unquote. Shemakubal tshuvasa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be makabal your tshuva more and more easily now than Mishar Yemois Hashanah. And he explains the Chaya Odom that really this all goes back historically. If we trace the history of Elul, this is the time of year where HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave Klal Yisrael for the sin of the Chet HaEgel. That's why these days are called Yemei Rotzein. So from the beginning of Elul until Yom Kippur, this 40-day journey has always right back to the early days of Klal Yisrael have always been days of tshuva. And as the Bach points out, Elul, the famous Remez, Ani l'doidi v'doidi li. There is a tremendous yedidus, as it were, friendship, if that's the correct translation, a certain closeness. Tshuva means coming back, having been distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, coming back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we hear the Chazan announce Rosh Chodesh Elul, what really sends a shiver up the spine is not just because Rosh Hashanah is a month away. And what's instilling me with dread or fear is the decision that's going to be made in the future, but rather it is the present, because there is work to do now. There is a major opportunity. I can finally buy this home. 500,000 shekel is not nothing, but relatively speaking, it's a golden opportunity, and I don't want to miss it. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, in many, many, many places, and so too his Talmud, Rabbi Itzel Blaser, they quote a Gemara, a one-line Gemara, and Rabbi Yisrael, this is really the Yesoid. We know that in the mitzvah of tzitzis, there are two parts, lovon and tcheles. The white threads, the ones that have to be lovon, and those of tcheles. Says the Gemara, if you do not put lovon in your tzitzis, or if you do not put tcheles in your tzitzis, then you mevatel a mitzvah. Says the Gemara, but you will be more severely punished for not putting the lovon than for not putting the tcheles. Why? Why is the punishment more severe for the lack of lovon than it is for the lack of tcheles? Is it because lovon is more important than tcheles? Says the Gemara, no, because lovon is easier to come by. Tcheles is more difficult to obtain. And if something is relatively easy and you do not fulfill it nonetheless, then you will be held accountable accordingly. If lovon is easier to obtain, then necessarily it is more punishable when the lovon is not obtained. Why? Because it is easier to do so. This is the yesoid of Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Elul, the avoida of tshuva, as it were, changes color. The avoida of tshuva is not tcheles, it's lovon. It's easier to come by. It doesn't mean that it's easy. It's easier to come by. These are days that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting kaviyochol for our tshuva. It is easier to be chayzer b'tshuva. So therefore, of course, that brings a tremendous excitement. I can come back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I can feel a tremendous kirva to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And yet at the same time, this instills us with an emor. There is some serious work to do, and I don't want to miss this tremendous opportunity. You know, I remember a few years ago, one of the young children in our Kehillah, Kehillah Darche Yitzchok and Ramat Bet Shemesh Gimel, approaches me with a beautiful question. A very special question from a very special little boy. And he says to me, I want to ask the Rav a question. Every single month, we know we have special days in those months, a moed or a fast. But there is one month a year that is empty. And what is that? Cheshvan. And because of that, what do we call the month? Mar Cheshvan. It is bitter because it is, as it were, an empty month. So he says to me, so why don't we call Elul Mar Elul? There's no Chagim, there's no Moyadim, there's no fast. Even Tisha B'Av in Chodesh Av is called a Moyad. It's not devoid, it's not empty, we don't call it Mar Av. Cheshvan we call Mar Cheshvan. So he asked, so why don't we call Elul Mar Elul? A very poignant question. What's the answer? What does it mean, a Moyed? Moyed means to meet. Like in the Beis HaMikdash, an Oyel Moyed, a place of meeting. And in every month we have a day or two or three or sometimes more when we can meet the Ribbono Shel Olam. Except in Cheshvan perhaps. Elul. The entire month is a month of meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani l'doidi v'doidi li. That's not Mar Elul. That's not bitter Elul. It's sweet Elul. We should be dipping our apple in the honey now already. It's the sweetest month of the year. It's not Mar Elul. There is an ongoing Moed from the beginning of the Chodesh to the end of the Chodesh. And that's what brings about a tremendous simcha, the ability to come back to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and yet at the same time, this Eima, the feeling that this is a golden opportunity. Tshuva has just changed color. Tshuva has now become Lovon. Therefore, at the same time, a sense of exhilaration, but also an Eima. I don't want to miss this opportunity. In next week's parasha, we're going to read the words Kiseise la milchoma aloivecho. As you go to war against your enemy, and we all know the parasha, you bring home the Eishes Yifas Toyar, and she sits there and she cries for 30 days. Many of the Mephoroshim see in that posuk a remez. Which milchoma is being referred to over here? Says the Alshich, says the Oir HaChaim HaKadosh, this is referring to our eternal struggle, our perpetual milchoma with the Yetzer Hara. Ki seitzei la milchoma, when you go out to battle, what does it mean there's crying for 30 days? Which 30 days? Chodesh Elul. That's what the Mephoroshim say. All of this pasuk, which non-coincidentally obviously always falls in Chodesh Elul, is in fact a reference to Chodesh Elul. That's the Mulchama. That's the Ubachsa Shloishim Yoim, the 30 days of Elul. But Rabbeisai, what we really have to home in is this word Mulchama. If Chodesh Elul and the battle against the Yetzahara is compared to a war, you cannot be successful in war unless you plan your strategy well. And that is the aside of Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Elul, this exhilarating, although perhaps intimidating Chodesh, needs to be planned well. Just like a milchama, you don't come to the battlefield without a battle strategy, so too you do not turn up in Chodesh Elul and the avoid of Chodesh Elul without some type of strategy. Let's come back to our mushal. We have this poor person who's never lived in his own home, who's always known abject poverty and suffering, and he's just put the phone down and he realizes that there's work to do. The first strategy he does is, let's now make a plan. How am I going about raising this 500,000 shekel? What he definitely does not do is think to himself, well, I have to raise it within 1 month, so I've got another 29 days to worry about it. No. The work starts now. The work starts now. This has to be, Rabbeisai, the main lesson, and this really is the yesod that I wanted to share with you today. To have a successful Elul, one needs to plan Elul, and one needs to start early. The Novi, Sefer Nehemiah, Klal Yisrael came to the Novi on Rosh Hashanah, and they were crying, it says. And the Novi tells them, and he says to them, don't cry, Al Tivku, do not cry today, it's Rosh Hashanah. There is a Sefer called Oir HaMeir, written by one of the great Hasidic masters 200 years ago. Do you know how he translates this pasuk? Why was Nehemiah telling them, do not cry? The simple understanding is, Rosh Hashanah is not a day for crying, it's a day for simcha. That's not how he translates it. Do you know how he translates this? Listen carefully, because this really will send a shiver up the spine. And he says, Be'emes, says the Novi to Klal Yisrael, Loi ata b'Rosh Hashanah eis habechia. The time to cry is not on Rosh Hashanah. Rather, terem yovoyu. Rather, it is before these days come along. Bizman sheyodoi psucho, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is open for you to have been chayzer b'tshuva, that's when you should have been crying. In other words, what the Novi was saying to Klal Yisrael is, you're crying now on Rosh Hashanah. Where were you until now? You should have been doing all of this during Elul. It's like the person on the last day of these 30 days. He wants to know, he's scrabbling round to earn the 500,000 shekel to buy the home. Where were you the last 30 days? You wake up at the last moment. You need the shofar to waken you up from your slumber. Well, you had a mini shofar all of Chodesh Elul to remind you not just that Rosh Hashanah is a month away, but rather it's now Elul, and there's work to do now. We have to plan a strategy, and we have to begin early. The Melchama against the Yetzer Hara, first and foremost, indeed, the Yetzer Hara tries to convince us that indeed, it's only base Elul, there's plenty of time to go, you're still recovering from your summer vacation, there's a good few weeks to go, no need to get into panic mode yet. It's true. We don't need to go into panic mode, but we do need to go into work mode. Let's just finish with the words that we will say at the end of our 40-day journey. When it comes right to those last exhilarating moments of Yom Kippur Ne'ila, and we say in the Tefillah, Ata noisein yad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you give your hand lapoishim, v'yemincha pshuta, and your hand is stretched out, lekabel shovim, to return those who repent. Listen to the way the Chofetz Chaim translates that phrase. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is stretched out? So the Chofetz Chaim, in his wonderful way of giving such simple mashalim, but such profound mashalim, he says, imagine the person who's at the platform, and he knows he's got a train to catch in half an hour, but he hasn't yet bought his ticket. And he looks up and he says, I've still got half an hour, what's the rush? His friend says to him, but don't you think you should buy a ticket now? Time is running out. I've still got time, there's 30 minutes to go. There's 20 minutes to go, there's 10 minutes to go. Why don't you buy your ticket? Because there's still 10 minutes to go. There's 5 minutes to go and he's still busy shopping and buying and looking and running. Why don't you buy your ticket? Because there's still 5 minutes to go. And all of a sudden, the guard there on the platform blows his whistle and the train begins slowly to leave the station. And then he scrambles, oh, I've got to get on this train. And the guard at the back of the train, as the train is beginning to leave the station, stretches out his hand and he drags him back onto the train, and he, kicking and wailing, just about makes it and lands on the floor as the train leaves the platform. And he looks around and he says, "One second, where am I? In the back of the train with all the suitcases? Dirty and dark. Why can't I get a seat? First class, I wanted a seat." He says, "First class seat? Now you want a first class seat? Alright, second class." He says, "Second class seat? There's no second class seats available. Seder, at least third class." He says, "If you waited till the last moment, you might just about get stretched onto the train, scrambling onto the train. But where's your place? At the back with the suitcases. Dark, smelly, damp, on the floor. That's your place." Says the Chofetz Chaim, if a person waits until the last moment, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'yemincha pshuto, your hand is stretched out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, as it were, drag us onto the train. And by hook or by crook, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will force us to be chayzer b'tshuva. But what type of tshuva will that be? What type of tshuva will that be? When we left it all too late. When the Navi says to us, "Now you're crying. Where were you during Chodesh Elul?" HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atah Noisein Yad, says the Chofetz Chaim. Yes, you'll stretch your hand out like the guard on the train. But where will you be? At the back, in the back last carriage with all the suitcases. Not first class, not second or third, never mind a seat. This is the moshel. We don't want to have to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Noisein Yad Lapoishim. So it's the beginning of Elul, Rabbeisai. This is only the second day of Elul, 38 days to go, 27 till Rosh Hashanah. Tonight, in 4 weeks, is Rosh Hashanah. We don't want to wait till the last moment. Back to where we began. When the Chofetz Chaim heard the Chazan say, Rosh Chodesh Elul, and he felt this shiver up the spine, it's not just because Rosh Hashanah is a month away, but rather because it's Elul now. And if it's Elul now, tshuva has just turned white. It's lavon. It's easier, much easier than it is the rest of the year, but that's a double-edged sword, because it's a tremendous opportunity. But on the other hand, a tremendous obligation. And we don't want to miss this opportunity, because then indeed we'll be held accountable. Just like you are for not putting your white chutim on the tzitzis. If it's easier to obtain, then in turn you'll be held accountable. We don't want to wait till the last moment. Just like a mulchama, you have to come well in advance with a strategy. This is the time now, Rabbeisai, base Elul, to plan our Elul. To plan our Elul. Which particular areas of Avodas Hashem am I going to home in on this Elul? I cannot do everything. I'll have to take one or two or three areas. Every person knows where they struggle. But we need to start planning now. We don't want to come to Rosh Hashanah and then the Navi turns around and says, "Now you're crying. Where were you for Elul?" We don't want to come to Yom Kippur where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to drag us onto the tshuva train. We want to be well seated in first class, having prepared well, having bought our ticket in advance. In Mitz Hashem, next week, we'll discuss further reasons, the big yesoid of Rabbi Itzel Blaser, why it is so beneficial to start being chayzer b'tshuva early on in Elul, rather than waiting for the last moment. But for the moment, this will suffice. We've heard the Chazan announce Rosh Chodesh Elul. We've even heard now twice them blowing shofar in the shul. Let's not wait till Rosh Hashanah. Let's begin our avodah of Chodesh Elul and understand that the shiver up the spine doesn't come from the realization that Rosh Hashanah is a month away, but rather from the realization that it's Elul now. The opportunity to buy this 500,000 shekel home is a big task, but it's a golden opportunity, and the work starts right now. Ezra Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will see that we are indeed investing koichas and energy into the avodah of tshuva. After all, we say every day, Baruch Atah Hashem, Horoitze b'tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be chayzer b'tshuva. The question is, do we want it? Because if we do, then Be'ezus Hashem, we will indeed be in Zeicha to Siyata Deshmaya in our Avodah of Tshuva, and that way all be Zeicha to Aksiva V'Chasima Taiva.